On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles this holiday season, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can only get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one. They're always watching, they've designed a system to keep you down, they're meddlesome. Hello friends, it's time for a revolution. Fight the power and pave the way for a brighter tomorrow with December's Rebellious Crate, featuring exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and more, including an exclusive Funko Pop figure, our monthly t-shirt, and pin. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, that's it, it's over. Make sure to head to www.lootcrate.com/Shaw and enter code Shaw, that's S-H-A-W, to save $3 off any new subscription today. Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm the Senior Digital Editor here at ProFootballWeekly.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. We are here to talk Week 14, already Week 14 in fantasy football. If you're in the championship round in your fantasy football league in the playoffs, congratulations. For some other leagues, maybe you've got the last week of the regular season, but we are here to help you out, whether you're in your playoffs or on the cusp, or if you're playing some DFS this week. I'm joined by Arthur Arkish, one of our Pro Football Weekly fantasy football experts. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how's it going today, man?
I'm doing well. How are you? I wish I was in more fantasy playoff rounds, but that's okay. We can still try and give the best advice possible.
Yeah, my advice is to go back to my draft earlier in the year and not draft most of the guys that I picked, like Rob Gronkowski or Keenan Allen in the first couple of rounds. Oh, and Lamar Miller. Those are my first three picks. So I am not in the playoffs.
It's rough, but at least... If with injured guys, maybe I don't know if that should feel worse or if, you know, at least you feel like, well, I made smart picks and I just got unlucky. It's worse when you just miss badly, like I did on a few occasions, although I can't think exactly specifically at the moment of where that would be. Maybe as the podcast goes on, I'll have a couple of good examples of embarrassing myself.
Yeah, I had to just bad luck. That's what I'm chalking it up to. And just, you know, that happens.
John, I thought of one already. Tyler Lockett. As much as I hate to say it, he was my most universal miss across my leagues this year. Maybe there's a lesson to be learned there. Don't let your man crushes bleed into your draft day thinking, because that one came back to haunt me. And now, ironically, in all these playoffs that I'm not participating in, it looks like Tyler Lockett may just actually be an asset for owners.
That's just the way it goes, isn't it?
rough, I tell you.
All right, well, let's do our game by game breakdown. We go through each game, give you some plays we like, maybe some plays we don't. We're going to start with the Thursday night game, Oakland at Kansas City. 46 is the over-under. Kansas City favored by 3 at home. I'm excited this game for real football reasons, because this is potentially the AFC West title game, essentially. I think this is going to be a pretty good Thursday night game. Arthur, where are you on a fantasy standpoint on this one? Who do you like?
Yeah, I got to be honest, John. I feel like it's going to be a much better game in reality than it is in fantasy. And I almost think like 47 points sounds a little high in this one. What do you think? I mean, it's going to be freezing temperatures. Derek Carr never plays well against the Chiefs. He's got to go travel now with everyone talking about the Raiders, kind of the flavor of the month, if you will. And I don't know. I mean, you're going to play a lot of your usual suspects, but I feel like this one, for fantasy purposes, may actually leave people wanting a little bit more.
So there are three guys that I like, and then everybody else I'm really downgrading, not only because it's the short week, but because of the potential cold and wind in Kansas City. So Travis Kelce is a guy I think you have to be on. Three straight 100-yard games. He's been on fire. I wrote about him in my DFS column for this week's Pro Football Weekly insert. Amari Cooper, I think he's going to avoid Marcus Peters. And so, you know, by default, I think that's a guy I'm interested in. And then a guy who I was high on earlier in the year and he kind of faded off and now he's back, it's Latavius Murray. He's been getting so much more. He's been getting a whole bunch more carries. He really has reestablished himself as the number one back in Oakland.
Yeah, I have no problem with any of those picks. You know, Amari Cooper did avoid Marcus Peters in the first meeting, and it resulted in a big game for him while Michael Crabtree was kind of silenced. And like you said, no Murray the first go around, but the Chiefs' run defense hasn't done a lot to excite since then. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about that, too. And then I guess I would just say on Kelce as well as Tyreek Hill, it sounds like Jeremy Maclin is finally going to return. But it seems like they have turned enough heads, Kelce and Hill, that at this point that they're going to remain relevant for fantasy purposes. At least that's how I view it. What do you think? Are you going to be fading those guys? Obviously not Kelce, but what do you think about Tyreek Hill with Maclin back in the mix?
If Macklin's back, I'm not really that interested in Tyreek Hill. I think that the target share just gets too diluted for me. And Kelce is a guy I'm still on. I think the Chiefs have figured it out with him.
Okay. I have no arguments there.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Washington at Philadelphia, 46.5 is the over-under. Washington favored by one on the road. Man, I like Kirk Cousins in this matchup. I still don't love Jordan Reed because of the injury situation. What do you feel about Jordan Reed in this game?
Yeah, it's, you know, the combination of Reed's obviously still separated shoulder, missed the game last week, did practice in part on Wednesday, did individual work. But I think the combination of like worrying about that injury and then the fact that the one thing the Eagles do pretty, not the one thing, but one of the things the Eagles do pretty well defensively is actually covering tight ends with those safeties with Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod. So, yeah, I don't think I would probably feel great about Reed in this one. Maybe Rob Kelly is a guy that should garner a little bit more interest. The Eagles have been pretty tough against the run, but it looks like they've been phoning it in a little bit now lately. So that's certainly going to be a concern if you're an Eagles fan, but maybe an opportunity for fantasy owners going up against Philly. So those are kind of the two guys I'd be focused on, I think. And Jamison Crowder, too, at this point, has just proven to be so darn consistent that you can feel pretty decent about him as a, you know, WR3 with some upside. But on the Eagles, I think I'm just probably steering clear of this one. Washington has a ton to play for, and Carson Wentz just has no one to play with.
Yeah, Crowder at least 75 yards or a touchdown, I believe, in the last 7 straight games. So if you're looking for consistency, Crowder's the guy. But I honestly think you can be fine with any one of these Washington wide receivers. You mentioned Philadelphia kind of phoning it in there, especially doing it in the secondary.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, if JC was on the show, he would caution us about how the Washington passing game scares him because Kirk Cousins spreads it around so much. But the bottom line is that you just said Crowder has started to become a really consistent force. And DeSean Jackson has actually been responsible for a few splash plays in recent weeks. I think his only catch last week went for like 60 yards. And of course, there's the hashtag revenge game narrative to play up this week as well.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Houston and Indianapolis, 47 is the over-under. Indianapolis favored by 6 at home. Indianapolis has one of the highest team totals on the week, implied to score 26.5 points. So obviously you're playing Andrew Luck. You're playing T.Y. Hilton. I'm curious, anybody else in this game that you're really interested in, Arthur?
Well, I mean, if I have Dante Moncrief, I'm playing him until he doesn't find the end zone. What is it, 6 weeks in a row now? So, or 6 games in a row now, I should say. So I think you got to go with Moncrief, even though obviously the Texans are pretty good defending the pass. One name I'm not interested in is Dwayne Allen's aberration.
You're not chasing
touchdown performance. I would recommend to all our listeners, don't chase it either. And I'm a fan of Dwayne Allen. Actually, I think he's a really good player, but that just looked to me like a bit of a mirage, not anything you're going to want to be able to depend on for more than 1 week. So I guess those are the guys. You know, Frank Gore, I guess, is fairly dependable at this point. Even in that snoozer on Monday night, he still ends up with over 80 scrimmage yards and didn't find the end zone because Robert Turbin keeps seeming to take those away from him. But yeah, I think that's probably it for the Colts. Excited to see what Andrew Luck is going to do down the stretch here after the way he just absolutely tore apart that Jets secondary. On the Houston side, I don't know. I mean, what do you make of Lamar Miller's situation? What he's got, is it a ribs injury or shoulder injury he's dealing with now?
I mean, it seems to be it's all of the above.
Both?
He's definitely banged up. But it's still the Colts defense, and it's the Colts defense now without DeQuell Jackson, who was suspended for 4 games. So I like the matchup for Miller. I know he's been burning people for most of the year, but I'm not afraid to go back to the well one more time with him. And if there's anybody in the Houston passing game I'm going to target, it's C.J. Fedorowicz. He's the one guy that seems to have Brock Osweiler's trust.
Well, we're all CJ Fedorowicz fans, obviously, at Shaw Media and the Northwest Herald, but I just have to say, if that's what we're getting excited about, all due respect to CJ, that really kind of speaks volumes about what's happened with this Houston offense, both in reality and in fantasy this year, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Let's move on to the next game. Cincinnati at Cleveland, 43 is the over-under. Cincinnati favored by 5.5. Jeremy Hill is not exactly gaining a whole bunch of yards in big chunks. And that's putting it very kindly. But, you know, he keeps finding a way to fall into the end zone. And Cincinnati, I mean, I guess Rex Burkhead is a part of their offense. But Jeremy Hill is still their RB1. And now he gets the hapless Browns. I think you have to like Jeremy Hill in this matchup this weekend, don't you?
Yeah, and I'm sorry if listeners aren't aware, if they're not looking at the stat lines like I am currently. Jeremy Hill is averaging 1.6 yards per carry over the past 2 weeks, and hasn't exceeded 76 rushing yards in about 5 weeks now. So it's ugly. But as John said, he has also fallen into the end zone for short touchdowns in 4 of the past 6 games, and there should be plenty of those opportunities against Cleveland. So maybe a chance for Jeremy Hill to get right. It might sound crazy, but maybe even Rex Burkhead possibly is a flex play in this game if they're trying to kind of spread out the love a little bit. Burkhead has been much more efficient and is a bit of a threat, I think, as a receiver too. So in the passing game, you know, Tyler Boyd, a big opportunity, I think. Brandon LaFell came on big last week, although kind of like Dwayne Allen, I think rather than get super excited about a big game for LaFell, I feel like in what's, you know, essentially a lost season, the Bengals probably are best served trying to see just exactly what they have in Tyler Boyd, don't you?
Yeah, and I think, honestly, in this matchup, just go with Tyler Eifert, and you'll be fine.
Well, yeah.
Browns can't stop anybody, but they're especially bad against tight ends. They are, I believe, the worst team in the league against tight ends.
Eifert's got touchdowns in 2 straight, and he looks healthy. So, yeah, I would say that makes a ton of sense.
All right, let's get out of that game. Move on to Denver and Tennessee. 43.5 is the over-under. Tennessee favored by 1 at home. Man, if you had told me before the year Tennessee would be favored against Denver – late in the season, I would have been pretty shocked. But there, not only is Tennessee, I think, playing a little bit better than Denver, there's some good fantasy matchups here. DeMarco Murray coming off the bye week where he hadn't been healthy, and now he's got a week to rest, gets a rather porous Denver rush defense at home. DeMarco Murray is actually one of my top running back plays of the week. Where is he on your list?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have DeMarco Murray as actually my RB3, and I know it was you, Sally, either a week or two ago, who had a really good column about sort of dispelling previous notions, the Broncos' run defense being so stout in the past, but not one anymore, or not that way anymore, and you correctly pointed out that you shouldn't be afraid of that matchup, so that explains Murray's high ranking here. All that being said, and I do have Delanie Walker, obviously. You know, he's not as high as he normally would be. I think I have him at tight end 5 this week, and that's definitely dropped down because of what the Broncos can do in their pass defense. But I don't know. I don't feel great about Rishard Matthews this week. Actually, I feel less than great about Rishard Matthews going up against Tlaib and Harris. And I don't know how to feel about Mariota. I feel like he's been so hot that you have to kind of rely on him at this point. But I can't say I have a ton of confidence. What about you?
I don't. Denver just really hasn't allowed big fantasy quarterback days this year. Mm-hmm. I know that there have been guys in what you think might be decent matchups, but this Denver secondary is still so good and so talented that other teams are just finding ways around it, and they're doing it with the run game, they're doing it with tight ends, which I think is why we're high on Murray and Walker, right, but not so much Mariota this week. I'm not high on Mariota. I would have him, gosh, maybe QB20 this week.
Wow, okay. I put him higher, but again, I don't know. I did it probably kind of blind faith based off what he's doing lately. But I do have a startable, kind of a low-end starting tier grade on him this week, which, again, probably is a little bit silly. What about Denver? I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
There are guys in worse matchups at QB, but as far as the Denver side, Demaryius and Sanders, and that's about it. That's all I really can trust at this point. Those guys are going to get their targets. They're going to get their share. They're not going to have huge explosive days, but they're going to be, you know, consistent producers for you in your lineup.
What do we hear, or do we hear anything yet on Trevor Siemian versus Paxton Lynch? Do you have a feeling the way that may go? I thought I read on Twitter this week that the Broncos were actually working out quarterbacks, which TJ Yates among them doesn't typically bode well for kind of that room overall and its overall health. What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything that there hasn't been really much news on it, but
okay.
Yeah, I don't like the situation.
and it's a shame because Trevor Siemian, of course, before being inactive last week and before Paxton Lynch struggled a little bit, was coming off that huge game in primetime. And then this Tennessee secondary, if there's any area you want to attack this defense, it's definitely through the air. So kind of, you know, potentially sort of unfortunate. Maybe that kind of helps explain why Tennessee a slight favorite in this one. I don't feel great about it, but we should quickly hit on the backfield situation. The Broncos signed Justin Forsett this week, and with his previous experience in Gary Kubiak's offense, they're not shying away from saying he can have an early role. Now, for the first round of the fantasy playoffs, is that someone you want to trust? I don't know. Probably not. But it probably speaks to the lack of trust that they have in Devontae Booker at this point, too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, Booker is kind of in that Jeremy Hill situation, but worse. Like, you'd basically trust his volume, but now it looks like his volume's going away. So I think it'd be safe to drop Devontae Booker, to be honest with you.
Man, okay.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next game. Arizona, Miami. 43.5 is the over under. Miami favored by 1 at home. I don't know what I have left to say about David Johnson. I mean, he has been clearly, I think, the best fantasy running back. You know, even though Le'Veon Bell's been great too, but David Johnson just gives you that consistent floor every week and has that ceiling that can win weeks for you almost single-handedly. And now they get the Dolphins, who allow 155 rushing yards per game at home. I mean, just
yeah. should bode pretty well for David Johnson, my number one overall player of the week once again. And I've been a big fan of his since he came out of Northern Iowa. Loved him at the Senior Bowl. Love what he did in the second half of his rookie season, and he's just managed to build on it. I think the most impressive part of what Johnson has done has been in the receiving game. Touchdowns in 4 straight there, and double-digit targets in 3 straight, and boy, have they needed him as John Brown and Michael Floyd and J.J. Nelson and everyone not named Larry Fitzgerald has disappointed. You could argue that that's been, you know, the most valuable aspect or the most valuable trait of David Johnson's game. The one thing I have to say about the Arizona offense overall, I was just digging through some stats on Monday, and I love Bruce Arians too, but you know it's not Bruce Arians' year when everyone who has eyesight can see Carson Palmer is not very good anymore, and yet the Arizona Cardinals with that defense lead the NFL in passing attempts. It's so confounding. At some point, you have to be able to adjust. And I know I'm kind of going on a rant now, but I don't understand how Bruce Arians, who's been one of the best coaches in football the past couple of years, just isn't seemingly setting his team up for success this season. Am I crazy, or do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, some of that's going to David Johnson, so it's almost an extension of the run game. But I agree with you that they do need to do a better job of finding a little bit more balance and just not making Carson Palmer make so many decisions for them.
Right. I mean, David Johnson only has 20 or more carries 3 times this season. Yeah,
it's inexcusable.
Right. I don't get it. But anyway, I'm done on my rant.
One last player I want to ask you about is a potential waiver wire pickup for this one. Jermaine Gresham, tight end for the Cardinals. He keeps finding his way into the end zone. And so I think you almost have to take a look at it. Again, he's like Jeremy Hill. He keeps, you know, finding ways to fall in, but if there's a guy that is all of a sudden going to be a target in the red zone, I mean, you have to take a look at him, don't you?
Yeah, you know, Jermaine Gresham, a former first rounder, has some nice pedigree, obviously, and actually got a bunch of money to go to Arizona this year, which is a little surprising. I only know because the Bears tried to sign him and Arizona outbid him. But it looks like he's got 2 touchdowns on the season, but they've both come in the past 3 weeks. And he had 6 targets last week, 10 2 weeks ago. So yeah, I guess given the situation at tight end across the league, if you're in a bind, maybe you can do worse and that Miami defense isn't going to scare you. But, you know, there might be some other names you could look at too, I think. We'll get to some of those as we go along.
All right, next game, Bears at Detroit, 43.5 is the over-under. Detroit favored by 8. Arthur, where are you in this game? On the Bears side, I think I like Jordan Howard. On the Lions side, Stafford, Ebron, Bolden? I don't know. I'm having a tough time reading this game. I want to hear your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I think before Bolden, I would say Golden Tate for sure. But those are the three, and Stafford, Ebron, and Tate that I like a lot. I think that there's a little bit of getting back to the revenge game narrative. Matt Stafford had his worst game in more than a calendar year. Was that the last Lions loss? I think they lost once more since then. But in week four at Soldier Field, he was awful. His only multiple turnover game of the season. Golden Tate was actually benched that day. He was responsible for the first interception. So those guys have obviously been rolling since. And I just have this feeling that they're both going to kind of have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and kind of want to stick it to the Bears a little bit. So I've got a really high grade on both of them, actually. And then Eric Ebron, the Bears did a decent job last week. Actually, I guess it wasn't so much what the Bears did. It was what Colin Kaepernick couldn't do and what Vance McDonald couldn't do. But they have made some subtle improvements versus tight ends, I suppose. So regardless, I like Ebron too. And then on the Bears side, like you said, I think it's probably just Jordan Howard. Of course, you're going to roll with him. He finally got a full serving of carries. And boy, did he deliver with 3 touchdowns and 117 yards on 32 carries. So actually, the efficiency doesn't excite you for a guy who's averaging almost 5. He was down under 4. But sometimes you have to be able to just pick up the tough yards and just be able to take it again and again. So I thought that that kind of bodes pretty well for Howard moving forward.
Do you like the Lions D this week?
Yeah, actually, I do. Yeah, I think if you're looking for a streamer, the Lions D has allowed, I'm going to screw this stat up, I believe it's less than 20 points in either 6 or 7 games. It's the first time they've done that in like more than 10 years. It's probably well over 10 years. I wish I had that email in front of me right now, but they're playing a lot better. Matt Barkley hasn't went on the road yet. We've all been so excited about what Barkley has done here in Chicago, and with good reason, but we do have to remember it was against Tennessee, which went into prevent late in that fourth quarter, and then against San Francisco, which is just a complete disaster of an organization. So now it's a little bit tougher with the Lions having a lot to play for, and yeah, I think that they would be a really nice streaming option this week. That's a good call.
All right, let's move on to the next game then. Pittsburgh at Buffalo, 47 is the over-under. Pittsburgh favored by 2 on the road. Obviously, you're going to play Ben, you're going to play Bell, you're going to play Antonio Brown, but Ladarius Green, Arthur, has become, I think, the number 3 Boom. Option in that offense. we called that last week.
Yes, we did. It was that. Fortunately, that was the bold prediction that we had ready. And then when I was forced to go with the second one in Theo Riddick, that didn't work so well. But yeah, Ladarius Green
better
went
than my
over,
bold prediction.
It went. Green went over 100 yards. He had a touchdown. He is just he's averaging almost 20 yards per catch. So yes, he only has 11 catches so far, but certainly his usage and his health are all trending upward in an offense that obviously you want as much stock as you can find. You should feel great about Ladarius Green this week. I have him, I think, as tight end number 4 or 5 overall. So, yeah, Green is things are looking good for him. It's kind of a better late than never situation, I think. On the Bills side, what do you think, John? I know McCoy has been a superhero for them, but they've got some unrest with Tyrod Taylor and that passing game, don't they?
Yeah, and Mike Gillisley is all of a sudden starting to get a couple of reps. And I know McCoy's been great. You're starting him no matter what. But Gillisley's a guy that you better have as a handcuff at this point. I'm curious what you think of Sammy Watkins. The Bills aren't coddling him. He's out there. But, you know, with what's going on with Tyrod and really the rest of the Bills offense outside of LeSean McCoy, I don't feel all that confident in Sammy Watkins.
No, I don't feel confident in him, but I feel like he's the kind of guy who just has a ceiling that you don't want on your bench when he does go off. I'm trying to see here really quickly. He's had 2 pretty modest. He was actually better, I think, in the first game back than he was Sunday, but his snap total definitely rose in the second game, and Rex Ryan said he came out of it feeling better than he did the first time. So, and he had 9 targets. He only turned him into 3 catches for 38 yards. So I feel like if you can get by with him as a WR3 and you're not going to be, you know, just devastated if he doesn't put up huge numbers, he might be the kind of guy you want to have out there. But yeah, I wouldn't do it with a whole lot of, you know, feeling great about anything. And we have to mention that Steelers defense is the reason that Pittsburgh is largely the reason that Pittsburgh has gotten so hot now. So that's certainly a factor, too. They're playing much better than they were earlier in the season. And then lastly, sorry, John, just on Gillislee, it's kind of funny the way that keeps happening. LeSean McCoy keeps exploding for 50 and 60 yarders, and then he's out of gas. So he gets stopped just short of the end zone, and Gillislee goes in for those short plunges. So it's good work if you can get it, and it's a great handcuff if you can still get him. But it's just kind of funny how that's happening because McCoy keeps ripping off these huge gains and then can't quite seal the deal for his fantasy owners. I get a chuckle out of that.
Yeah, that's not bad. Pittsburgh D on the road, terrible streaming option, or if you're desperate, streaming option?
Yeah, I think that you could do worse, but you could probably do a little bit better too. I think I prefer Detroit at home. I think Atlanta goes cross country. No, Atlanta
does go cross country to the Rams.
To Los Angeles. That was another streaming option, I thought. And again, that's a longer trip, but at least you get a rookie quarterback that way who you don't feel great about. So that's maybe another streaming option I feel a little bit better about. But again, I think you could probably do worse than Pittsburgh too.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one. San Diego, Carolina, 48.5 is the over-under. Carolina favored by 1 at home. Boy, Dontrelle Inman and Tyrell Williams have been nothing but outstanding for the Chargers offense. Those are two names I really didn't expect to be saying this late in the season, Arthur.
Yeah, no doubt. And Tyrell Williams in particular has been just a monster in terms of big plays. Although, actually, I guess they've both been really good. I know Inman found the way into the end zone on another long touchdown last week, too. So, yeah, it's been pretty impressive. I definitely have startable grades on both of those guys, especially Tyrell Williams, who I have, I think, bordering on a WR in WR1 territory this week. And a really nice grade on Melvin Gordon, too. Not so much on Phillip Rivers. You could do worse, but the turnovers are just absolutely killing him at this point. And, I think it's kind of making him hard to trust. And even Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry are now starting to kind of take playing time from each other. And neither of those guys has seemed to put up a big game here now in a few weeks, right?
Yeah, I wish just one of them was starting because the Panthers have been brutal against tight ends. They've given up, I believe, tied for the league lead in most touchdowns given up to tight ends. But like you said, they're starting to take playing time away from each other. So I can't pick one. I guess Gates ahead of Henry. And Gates is getting close to, what, the all-time touchdown record for tight ends, right?
That's like a good call. I don't know how far away he is. Okay, yep. So they're shooting for that. That's a good call. Yeah, I think both of those guys, though, are probably not going to feel great about him. Gates does have a startable – well, I don't know if I ended up putting a startable grade on him. But, I'm not feeling as good about either of those guys as I am about those receivers you mentioned who have been pretty consistent with some explosive scoring opportunities in recent weeks, while Travis Benjamin has really fallen off the map after a great first half of the season.
Anybody like on the Carolina side on this?
Not with a lot of confidence. It's when Ted Ginn has been your most consistent pass catcher over the past 3 or 4 weeks, that probably says it all. Cam, I had pretty high, and then I found myself just gradually moving him down this spreadsheet. Let's see where he settled in at. It feels like it could be one of those opportunities after Cam and the Panthers and everyone was just so embarrassed in Seattle last week that maybe it is an opportunity at home for them to show out and have a really nice game. But Cam just moved back into the QB1 territory for me. He's at QB10 overall this week after a couple weeks of really not even having a startable grade. So and then the work that Casey Hayward is doing has been remarkable. So I don't feel great about Kelvin Benjamin either, just because Hayward has been playing as well as really, he's probably been a top five, top six corner in the NFL this year, if not in the AFC for sure.
He locked up Mike Evans last week.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Pretty impressive stuff.
All right, a game that we're not going to spend much time on, Minnesota, Jacksonville, 39 is the over-under. Minnesota favored by 3.5 at home. Arthur, I don't like anybody in this one. There's no good matchup that I like. You might say Stephon Diggs, but I don't like him against that improving Jaguars secondary. I don't like the quarterbacks. Maybe Kyle Rudolph, but that's it, man.
Yep, I'm with you. Maybe a possible sneaky streaming defense, though. Would you have the stones to throw the Jaguars and embattled Gus Bradley's unit in there as a streamer against Sam Bradford and a college-level offensive line?
They're at home, so yeah. I'll take a home defense in a low-total game.
And I don't think you're going to want either of them, but just so our listeners know, it sounds like Chris Ivory has made his way back on the practice field to kind of muddle that backfield back up. Allen Robinson going to get Xavier Rhodes. You probably have to temper your expectations there. So, yeah, not a lot to like here at all. I do think if you have Stephon Diggs, you're probably playing him, but not with a lot of confidence.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Jets at San Francisco, 43.5 is the over-under. That's come down from 46.5. With the 49ers favored by 2.5 at home. Arthur, do you have the stones to roll out Colin Kaepernick again this week if you rolled him out last week?
Well, you mean the fact that I don't have the opportunity to have the stones to roll out Colin Kaepernick this week because of last week? No, I, you know, it's funny. He's maybe the most polarizing player in the NFL already, and now I think you could probably add his name to the fantasy football realm as well after everyone was so hot on Colin Kaepernick last week and he just totally peed down his leg. So, you know,
this is not a terrible match. The Jets are a good run defense.
No, it's not. Yeah, and they folded and they were not even trying.
And they're on a short week
last week. Yeah. Yep. It's just I don't know. Maybe there's a bigger lesson here, John. Do we have to put our sentiments aside in fantasy football? I mean, do we have to remove ourselves from getting burned 1 week? You know what I mean? I don't even know if I would have the nerve to do it again. But again, I don't have the opportunity because he burned me that bad in multiple leagues last week.
Yeah, I absolutely think you have to set aside bias and
yeah,
you know,
you do.
Anything that you know happened last week, you have to set that aside. You have to look at the matchup. Colin Kaepernick is at home, not going to be in the snow. Gets a Jets defense coming across country on a short week, and they've basically quit.
And Bryce Petty, making his first cross country road start, and he's going to turn it over a couple times and probably set up Cap for a couple short fields. And Kaepernick is obviously playing for a ton, whether it's in San Francisco or elsewhere. He could be auditioning actually for the team he's playing against. So I'm kind of talking myself into it a little bit. I'm obviously still bitter, but I guess if you have Cap, you probably roll him out there again and hope for the best.
And I like Matt Forte in this matchup. If the Jets are going to go back to Bryce Petty, Matt Forte is going to get the ball.
I think so too. San Francisco still just awful. We talked about what Jordan Howard did to them last week in the snow. So feel good about Forte, although it does seem like Bilal Powell is on the field a lot more than Matt Forte owners would like. Do you think, is Brandon Marshall's stock shot with the Bryce Petty move?
Yes.
It looked like he was dialing up Rory Anderson a lot last week.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson is a really good DFS play this week. He's minimum salary. And he got double-digit targets on Monday, and he got into the paint. So I think you have to like Robbie Anderson in DFS. And if you're really, really desperate for a wide receiver, Bryce Petty clearly targeted this guy, and the 49ers secondary is not that great. But, yeah, Brandon Marshall, absolutely not. If I've got better options. Really, as long if it's Fitzpatrick at QB, then I'm on board with Marshall. But Petty just he can't get a connection with him, and Marshall's had great matchups all year long, and he really hasn't taken advantage of any of them.
I know we said we weren't going to spend a lot of time on this game, and now we have. But just lastly, maybe the one positive thing that Bryce Petty did last week was dial up the one deep ball to Anderson for a touchdown, and it looked like he at least – you could see the arm talent, if nothing else. So I guess you want the guy you can't overthrow. That is Robbie Anderson, not the the intermediate possession guy, Brandon Marshall. So, yep, I'm with you on that.
All right, next game, Atlanta at Los Angeles, 45 is the over-under. Atlanta favored by 6 on the road. Arthur, the Atlanta running back situation, it was a timeshare early in the year. I feel like Devonta Freeman has almost established himself as the number one guy. It's not like a true bell cow, but he's getting more touches than he did earlier in the year.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure, obviously the Coleman injury changed that a little bit. And, Freeman has found the end zone twice in the past 2 weeks, looked really good, had a couple highlight runs last week against the Chiefs. So, and yet Coleman, found the end zone in his first game back, and I think he was up, let's see what he did receiving, 49 yards rushing, but actually not much as a receiver last week. Yeah. So, it looks like it has kind of gravitated toward Freeman, and, it's a tough matchup, but obviously that's a guy, you'll be rolling with. And, I guess the bigger Even the bigger topic this week in Atlanta is what's up with Julio and Mohamed Sanu, both banged up. And I guess this is a really good test for Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan. It looks like this offense hasn't skipped a beat no matter what has happened. But what happens if they're in a world without Jones and Sanu? Is there anything you want to be a part of in the passing game for fantasy purposes?
Fire up Taylor Gabriel, baby.
Yeah, he's been excellent.
Yeah, he's a speedster. I like Taylor Gabriel, actually. Yeah, and really Kyle Shanahan this year I think has done a pretty decent job of just taking what defenses give him. And so I don't know. I like Gabriel and I like Freeman. Don't really like anybody on the Atlanta side or on the Los Angeles side.
Yeah, I wish we had JC this week to talk about the Rams because of the extension finally coming out and just the latest embarrassment, but we'll see if we can get him to go off on a tangent for us next week and talk a little Jeff Fisher.
I like it. I can't wait. Next game, New Orleans at Tampa Bay, 51.5 is the over-under. Tampa Bay favored by 2.5 at home. Man, Drew Brees just let everybody down at home last week, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it had been, what, 60 games? So, wait, I'm trying to do some quick math here. 60 home games, that's what, more than, is that five seasons?
Yeah.
Four seasons, five seasons, six seasons? Yeah, without throwing a touchdown in every game, and then he gets held out of the end zone last week by the Lions. Pretty amazing stuff, but I he's my QB1 this week, so I'm clearly not worried about it. I just think he was kind of due for that, I guess, after five or six seasons or whatever it was. Do you see the Tampa Bay defense finding a way to extend his struggles for a second consecutive week?
No, even though it's Breeze on the road. I have, Breeze is going to throw a couple touchdown passes this week. Mike Evans is my wide receiver one this week, and I don't think it's that particularly close because this New Orleans secondary really is not good. Evans gets almost all the targets if you're not named Cameron Brate in the Tampa Bay offense. Evans is at home. Man, there's no reason to not love Mike Evans this week.
Yeah, I agree. I have him WR2 overall just because I slid in Antonio Brown. I can't even really tell you the reason why, but yeah, obviously Evans should be a huge, big-time bounce-back candidate. And you know who saved the day for the Bucs last week in Evans' absence was Cameron Brate. Managed to be that second guy that they've been looking for and had a big game for them. And I think he has a chance to build on that because why wouldn't he against the Saints? And what about the backfield, John? Charles Sims making his return this week. Charles Sims is a receiving specialist. And even though Cameron Brate has come on, they're still looking for more weapons through the air. What do you think? Is he someone that owners might want to roll with before this thing's all said and done?
If you're desperate, if you can stash him on your bench, sure. If you're desperate, you can start him in this matchup, but I think there are better options. I hope there are better options out there for you.
Yeah, I guess the only reason we're discussing it is now because Doug Martin has just done nothing since returning from the hamstring injury, I think three games now, and just nothing to speak of. He has found the touchdown, has found the end zone a couple times, but hasn't looked too explosive, and it doesn't really look fully healthy. So we'll see if Sims can kind of leapfrog Jaquizz Rodgers, who's also gotten back into the mix, but it's too bad because obviously there's an opportunity there. We're just not quite sure against the Saints who it lies with.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Seattle at Green Bay, 46.5 is the over-under. Seattle favored by 3 on the road. With the loss of Earl Thomas in Seattle's secondary, are you a little more hopeful for Aaron Rodgers in this matchup?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, frankly, I'm just relatively hopeful regardless because Rodgers has been playing pretty damn good. I know he had a step back last week, actually against another tough defense, obviously in Houston, but made big plays when he had to with Jordy Nelson late. And I don't know. Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. I have a startable grade on him, and you know, they have so much to play for, and it just kind of feels like the Packers are getting ready to make one of those runs. At least it feels that way to me. I picked them to win this game. I don't know why, but maybe it's for these reasons I'm kind of talking aloud and spitballing on. But yeah, you know, it's going to be Stephen Terrell who makes his second ever start in place of Earl Thomas. He let up a long, I think, I don't know if it was, yeah, Carolina's only touchdown was the long one to Ted Ginn right after Thomas went out last week. So maybe it's, you know, the Packers don't really have anyone to stretch the field, but maybe it's Jared Cook. You know, it's going to be Jordy Nelson. I think the bigger intrigue for me is in the backfield. It looks like the Packers have finally gotten away from James Starks. The question, is it Christian Michael or is it Ty Montgomery? And is there enough clarity to where you may even think about rolling with either of those guys? I guess that's a pretty big dice roll here for fantasy playoff time.
Yeah, I'm avoiding that situation entirely. James Starks, I think, managed to get benched twice in that game.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible. I like the passing options in this game, too, whether it's Jordy or Baldwin or Jimmy Graham. Those are three that I don't mind those. Devonta Adams, I don't hate either.
Right. No, I don't either. Randall Cobb had the a little bigger game last week than Adams, and it seems like they have been going back and forth a little bit. We can't get through this matchup, though, without just mentioning it. John Tyler Lockett,
That's right.
75-yard touchdown. We saw the speed again. I think he had 50-something yards as a receiver before that jet sweep explosion. What do you think? Is that still not the volume you want to count on, or do you see someone healthy that they're trying to get more involved?
I see somebody healthy, but the volume isn't there for me yet. So, yeah. You know, if you can put him on your bench, great. If you have to start him, fine. I don't hate it, but I'm waiting another week. He's got to show me. Let's move on to the Sunday night game. Dallas at the Giants. 47.5 is the over-under. Dallas favored by 3 on the road. Obviously, you're playing Zeke Elliott, although this isn't the best matchup in the world for him, even though the Giants did just lose Jason Pierre-Paul for the season. And you're playing Odell Beckham. You're playing Dez Bryant. Arthur, anybody else you really like in this matchup? I kind of like Cole Beasley.
Yeah, Cole Beasley is a solid play. The Giants have really good options outside at corner, and I don't think they've been quite as formidable in the slot, so Beasley should be okay. I think Jason Witten is probably relatively solid, especially as we've kind of went through the laundry list of issues at the tight end position of late. The Giants haven't covered tight ends well for a long time now, and Witten may be a decent option. And then on the Giants side, I don't know. You know, the Dallas defense continues to get it done, although I can never figure out why. But I don't know if there's anyone outside of the usual suspects, like you just said, Beckham and Sterling Shepard. Is there another name we can throw in there? It looked like actually Paul Perkins was more involved, I think, than Rashad Jennings in the ground game last week.
Yeah, I'm avoiding the Giants running back situation. Rashad Jennings has burned me enough that I'm pretty much done.
Okay, that's you don't have to explain it anymore to me. That makes sense. This will be another great it should be probably another really good game. Dallas looking to avenge their only loss of the season, but for fantasy purposes, I don't know how greatly exciting it's going to be.
All right, let's close it out with the Monday night game. Baltimore at New England. 45.5 is the over under. New England favored by 7. With Gronk out for the year, Arthur, it looks like the Patriots are going to a 3 wide receiver set on their base set. So that, to me, puts a guy like Edelman even higher. I know he'd be out there anyway, but mm-hmm. I think he's even higher. I kind of like Hogan a little bit more. Malcolm Mitchell has been getting it done. I don't like any of the running backs in this situation, though, because Baltimore has been one of the best rush defenses in the NFL this season. Where are you in this game?
Yeah, I'm right where you just said. Malcolm Mitchell is the guy that really excites me, looking at the opportunity he has gotten and capitalized on and how it's increased in 3 straight weeks now. I really like Malcolm Mitchell's outlook the rest of the way. But the running game, like you just said, and I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised. It is Bill Belichick after all, but now that he has 3 options at his disposal, it kind of feels like James White and Deion Lewis are canceling each other out right now. And LeGarrette Blount, I think his day was salvaged last week with that long touchdown on 4th and 1. And like you said, now he gets the best run defense in football. So you're gonna probably start Blount, I think, because you probably don't have 2 better options. But I don't think you feel that great about him. And you know, the New England defense isn't scary, so we just have to figure out on the Baltimore side what basket to put the eggs in. I'll tell you, much like Dwayne Allen, it's not going to be Dennis Pitta's basket, who found the end zone not once but twice and did it for the first time in 3 years. It's probably not boom or bust Rashad Perryman either, although encouraging that he has now scored in consecutive weeks. What about Joe Flacco? I mean, maybe as a DFS contrarian player, is that a little too bold for you?
I'm a little wacko for Flacco this week.
370 something yards and four touchdowns will do that, I guess. But unlike Pitta and Dwayne Allen, you don't feel like you're quite chasing it as much because you know he keeps getting the opportunity. Behind the only quarterback I believe that has attempted more passes other than Carson Palmer, number two in the NFL, I believe, is Joe Flacco.
Exactly. If the volume's there, then why not? And this New England secondary, it's beatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Just stay away from Malcolm Butler. I'm trying to think of who that, you know, you'd imagine Butler's probably going to do a lot of following Mike Wallace. Smith going to get some work in the slot. So, yeah, it'd probably be a Steve Smith week before it'd be a Mike Wallace week, I would imagine.
All right, we're going to close it out with our bold calls for the week. I hope to do a little bit better than last week, which was just a disastrous bold call on Colin Kaepernick. Arthur, do you have a bold call for this week?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, we hit on them throughout the show, obviously, but just to kind of reiterate, and actually I'm going to go in a slightly different direction than what I said during the matchup. I just got a weird feeling about Justin Forsett. I know that he has panned out in two different stops, hasn't panned out in two different stops already this season, including Detroit, where they can't run at all. But I feel like that rapport with Gary Kubiak, I feel like there's an opportunity here, and it's a huge risk. But I have a feeling that Justin Forsett is going to end up as a startable option this week for you, maybe as a flex play. And you want an even bigger risk against an even better defense. I think Christian Michael, I watched that game last week, and of all the guys they were handing it off to, he looked like the most explosive to me. And we can never get enough of the old revenge game narrative. So I think Christian Michael as an absolutely daring flex play may actually return something for you this week.
All right, it's not bad. I like it. My bold call, I'm retreating after last week's disaster. So I'm going to say DeMarco Murray is RB1 this week. I think that Denver defense is burnable on the ground, and Murray is going to be healthy.
Very nice. Well, I'll put you on the spot, though. Is he going to be able to ride them to a victory when they are favored and at home and trying to stay in that AFC South race?
Without knowing who Denver's quarterback is going to be, that's a little tough to answer on Wednesday afternoon when we're taping this. But sure, why not? I'll go with it. We're supposed
all right,
to be bold in this.
You heard it there first, yeah. Guys. Go get your bets in, and if it doesn't pan out for you,
then you can add Arthur Arkish on Twitter. That'll do it for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. For Arthur Arkish, I'm John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this week.